This is CliffCentral.com.
Stretch and yawn. Stretch everything out. Get yourself all pumped up and jacked and ready for the week. Ah, yeah, it's Monday. We're here live. The 23rd of October, or October, or Cocktober, depending on what exactly you're in it for.
Or all three.
Maybe. Has anyone done that dumb October stuff?
No, I can control my drinking. I don't need the feast or famine.
Yeah, I don't know if it's feast or famine. I think it's people just checking whether they still have control. And some people don't. I don't feel the need to do October. I went to a party on Saturday night, which was pretty damn cool. And I didn't October it. I would have been bored to death if I were October-ing.
That's how a lot of people live their lives. They would be bored to death without booze.
I'll tell you what, the worst thing you could possibly do is be the only sober person at a drunk party.
Yeah, there's certain truths that we stumble upon as humans. One of those things being that you need alcohol in society to have fun. Well, the only worst thing you get is feel like, I don't need to drink to have a good time.
You're lying. It takes the edge off. And believe me, it gives you something to do. And for a lot of people, they have no personality until they've had a few drinks.
Interestingly enough, what I've noticed with myself is after Orpi, I've only drunk after you got twice.
Married. After you got married at Orpi.
After the mess that was that weekend. Because I still think I haven't felt like drinking alcohol. I think that's because I went way overboard. So my first drink was actually just last week, and I had a glass of wine.
Oh, nice.
And then this
weekend, civilized, yeah.
I just had sparkling wine, and that was it.
You do anything fun, Mubs?
I did everything in excess this weekend.
Good for you. About time, because the last couple of weekends in a row, you come in here, and you're like, not really.
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah, just everything in excess. The drink, the food, the sex, all of it.
Nice.
Excess.
Look at you.
So you lived like a Roman lord, god, emperor this weekend.
So since you've brought it up, I'm going to expose you here. The first thing that my mother says to me. As she walks in this morning, she looks at me, she goes, Sia, now, do you guys feel any pain afterwards? I'm like, what? What are you talking about, my man? So like, well,
after what?
After sex. Do you guys feel any pain? Like, can you feel anything?
So I think Sia's sex is different to maybe other guys' sex.
Exactly. But I think she's definitely then concerned that she might have broken someone this weekend.
Wow, my bunny. Holy shit. It must be. I want to live in your world just for a week.
Mubs, in the brief to speed, when Sia has sex, there's no vaginas. So I don't know if that's what...
Just to lay it
on out
there.
I don't know if this is the right sounding board.
He did tell me that the worst thing that's happened to him is when he gets a cramp in the back of his leg.
I think that's why...
So happy you said leg.
No. That's the common denominator here, because you think you're the hottest thing, and you bring that up, and you twist that, and you flick that there.
And then you get a cramp.
Oh, that is the unsexiest thing.
Well... I got quite a lot done this weekend. I'm kind of proud of myself. I did a lot of work.
Yeah, I noticed. I walked in here this morning. The outside area of the studio is all different. You do that by yourself as well.
God, I caused such shit here on Friday.
We called it Hurricane Cliff.
Yeah,
on
Friday. I get a bee in my bonnet sometimes when things are just the same and everything just kind of ticks over. And I get sick of things being the same for more than a year or so. So I needed to rearrange stuff. And it's not a major change, but there will be some. And the problem with me is I can't wait. So as soon as we finished the show on Friday morning, I started moving stuff around. Then Greg and Rena and everybody else gets here, and they're all like, oh, my God, what have you done? I'm like, well, I had to change stuff because it's just not working for me anymore, and it's not working for anybody. Everybody's just in this wheel, you know?
big wheel nice. Keep on turning.
So we've moved everything around. The whole coffee station thing is in a different place. And, you know, the rest of the work area has been kind of rejigged. Not a lot, but yeah, just a little bit.
It's interesting what, like, really these minor changes, they make a big difference, though, because everyone notices it they walk in.
The only room in this whole place that I'm actually comfortable in is the studio. Every other room here, I want to get out of as soon as I get into it. I've got a problem. There's a spatial problem with me. If an area is disjointed, untidy, disproportionate, if the furniture is ugly or it's been there for a long time and you've got too used to it, I can't sit and concentrate in those rooms. Like in the studio, I can focus because it's fairly simple. We've got, you know, it matches, it all looks right, it makes sense. There's still one thing about the studio that drives me crazy. It's this panel of soundproofing that's not right. But everything else is good. So I can focus in here. I can do what I'm required to do here. Everywhere else, it's like I've got 100 messages bombarding me, from the skew painting to the floor that doesn't match the walls. Everything is just bothering me the whole time. And I think it's a mental illness. I don't know how else to put it, because most people don't mind. They'll be in any space and they can make themselves present, focused. They can get things done. I get so easily distracted by my surroundings.
But that's just what appeals to you, though. You get people who get stimulated by all kinds of things, whether it's just constantly laying men down, whether it's like finding positive things in life, whether it's finding negative things in
Mavs
life.
Mavs just gave herself one of those, yeah, I'm proud of that.
Everyone's got a thing, Gareth. Your thing is about your environment being perfect.
Yeah,
and that's just your thing.
I'm never going to reach
Everybody's got a thing. You're right, Ben.
Yeah. All right. How was your weekend? You went somewhere very sexy by the looks of things.
One of the greatest weekends ever. Sort of drove out to Hoedspruit Friday morning, first thing in the dark.
Right.
And I couldn't get over how amazing the scenery is. So it's a long drive. You're going to the top of the country, Limpopo. And the scenery changed from, like, I don't know, arid kind of horrible landscape to what looked like Franschhoek at one stage.
Did you go through that tunnel? And then you come out on the other side and there's the escarpment?
Yep. Little mountain pass. We stopped, we're safe, took the drone out, had a few fly arounds. Like, just incredible. Then you get to all, like, the citrus plantations, and then before you know it, you're in the bush. Like, it's the wild. The wild.
That is the road that I took when I went to Nelspruit Hoedspruit in what, April? April
must be. So beautiful. Like, you just want to drive it and keep driving. It took us probably 7.5 hours. It's like, it's not close, but we did take stops. And, like, you have breakfast in Dahlstrom, and you realize how incredibly beautiful the top of the country is. And then we got to this place, and it turns out to be, like, just overly fancy, just, like, incredible. It was the King's Camp, and it's as lavish as it sounds. So, game drives twice a day. We saw wild dogs. It was just the most intense scene of nature. Like, wild dogs are quite rare to see when you see all of them at one go. So we're tracking. So how these rangers work is, if you haven't been on these game drives, they have this walkie-talkie system, and between 4 or 5 cars, they work out what is where, and then they coordinate such a way you get to see as much as possible. So there were wild dogs running around.
It is really difficult to see them, by the way.
And we track them, and firstly, like, wild dogs are quite small. You don't realize how small they are. So this one wild dog is just covered in blood, comes out of the bush, covered in blood, and it's like whining. Other dogs are now running towards it. So you think, okay, well, maybe it just got injured in a fight. The wild dog then regurgitates a kill. Everyone else eats from it. As this happens, 20 of them come running out of various bushes, small, middle size, whatever. There is now a family of wild dogs right next to our car, just running around. Amazing. Running around like you're in Parkhurst with, like, spaniels and Jack Russells, but these are actual wild dogs in the wild. So then our friend says, so, like, what's the difference between a wild dog and a hyena? 5 minutes later, these wild dogs are now chasing two hyenas. So our guy, Lucas, is now driving through the bush, like over bushes, around trees. We're doing about 90 at one stage, I'm pretty sure. Wow. And there it is. There's this. They corner this one hyena into this bush. He's hiding, but hiding like a naughty kid, where the other hyenas, like, in the open, these dogs go for the hyena, bite it on the arse. Hyena's, like, yelping. This is all happening around us. Like, it's a mad scene of the wild. And then we're driving around, and there was
these wild dogs that make a hell of a racket while they're trying to kill something.
But they're such incredible hunters. So what they do is they just run in like, it looks like rush defense for the Springboks, and it's a lot more effective. And what they do is they just rip a thing to pieces. Mm-hmm. So when a big cat's like, you know, when a lion attacks you, it'll just eat you from the arse and you die slowly.
Or it'll snap your neck or whatever. Yeah. It's quick.
But with these, well, it can take a few hours, Gareth, when a lion eats you, because cats are chilled. Like, meowsers will play with stuff. Leopards play with stuff. Mm. So what the wild dogs do is they run in this sort of wave, and they outflank you, and then they all just rip you to pieces. And within about 7 minutes, you go from breathing to never actually existing. They eat everything. It's all gone.
Oh,
and there's so many of them.
My gosh.
They'll even eat the bones and shit them out.
Everything. Mm. But, like, it's just so incredible to see how it's like you see nothing for an hour, and you literally are thinking, this is getting a bit tedious, and then out of nowhere you see all of this. And it just, like, breaks like a thunderstorm.
I know that this sounds like a really fancy place you were at, but you can actually go, and this is what I think is so sad about so many people who are caught up in that, you know, that work cycle, and they don't get away. We've got places in South Africa where it will cost you very little to go and have an experience like Ben had. I mean, you don't need to have the 5-star treatment. You can go and hire a little place, some tiny little house somewhere with a kind of braai area outside. You could sit and make a fire every night.
$300 a day.
Yeah. Doesn't have to cost a lot. And you could see all this stuff.
Well, we give government stuff, obviously, a horrible rap around here. But, I mean, Sandpox does a wonderful job in getting you into the wild. And you can see this stuff. And it's not too far away. And then there was leopard sighting.
Oh, wow.
And we drive around, and literally, it just looked like meowsers in the wild. In this little riverbed, this cat just sitting there.
A leopard. Nobody gets to see leopards that easily.
But
it's amazing.
You think, how do these rangers find it? It is hiding under a log, and it's just doing the usual cat thing, just like licking its paws and lying there for 10 hours. And it's just walking around, and then it gets up and walks around a bit and has a bit of a yawn, bit of a stretch. And then we saw rhino. As it was getting dark, two big rhino just chilling with each other, and this like shifty hyena was then walking towards them. Just looked so weird. But like, as the light was dying, like, the weather wasn't great, we didn't see much sun. And then on the last day, there was huge rains the night before, and there was this massive riverbed. Like, there's riverbeds everywhere, but they're all seasonal, so they might flow once, twice a summer. And our guides, like, he spoke about 4 different languages at any given stage to us, but we kind of got what he was saying. And there's just, if you see water bubbling, we go down there, the river just started. Like, the river actually started, and within a few minutes, it then just floods this entire plain, and then we drive down, and then it's just like, you don't see things like this anywhere else in the world, or anywhere else other than nature. Like, beach holidays, like, after day one, you just end up getting drunk all day. Like, here, you get to see things. Like, we saw birds I've never seen before, colors I've never seen before.
Oh, wow.
Elephants, but, like, so many, and really close. This one elephant opened its lunchbox so bad, but, like, crossed the road, and it got our attention, and literally, it raised its tail, and then just let out the biggest fart. Like, it reverberated. You almost felt like the car was shaking. And we all just stood there in disbelief, like, you're this close to nature. And then there was a hippo in the water, raises its head, and takes the most gigantic shit in the water. But it was like a rubber duck was starting. It was like propeller.
They chopped their shit up with that silly little tail.
But, Gareth, in the water. And they went back under the water. You think, you absolute savage. So
savage of a different kind.
We didn't get to see lion, unfortunately, but it was so special. Like, you do one of those weekends, and you feel like a better human. You feel like you're more in touch with things. And then we drove back, and now here we are.
That's awesome.
Wow.
That's really cool.
It was like a blur, but I got such great video footage, such great photos, and just can't wait to do it again. Like, I am my happiest in the wild.
I think all of us are, because there's this primal thing that gets triggered, and you feel, okay, I'm not in the big city, I don't have glass and chrome and steel around me. I'm where I'm meant to. I'm evolved to be out there. I mean, obviously, we wouldn't survive 5 minutes with those animals.
Not with the wild dogs, no.
But you get an inkling of what it would be like to live there and to be that ancient, primitive human being.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to kind of fight with nature every day. You just have to survive. Like, you get to the end of the day, if you've made it to the end of the day, you've done really, really well.
Yeah. But what I also like to do when you get into the wild is you read those nature books. So I read all about mammals and what they do in the wild. It's just crazy how no one is safe at any given stage. Lions eat cheetahs. Hyenas are always attacking the lions. The lions also fight with the leopards.
Oof.
Everyone wants to just kill each other because it's not about I don't like you. It's like if I eat you, I've got a better chance of eating the next wildebeest that walks by here because there's competitions out of it.
Yeah.
And it's just, it's crazy. And you sit there in your game car, you feel so safe, but you just step foot on that ground, they will take you down. You will be
I like, yeah, it's there are winners and there are losers. It's really simple in nature.
It's the way that's life it. Was meant to be. Nature, all the answers are in nature, and then come back to society where to get wokeness and all kinds of other crap.
I wonder if the animals ever look at us in those vehicles and think, look at these idiots.
Well, the leopard gets up, and there was this, because like various cars you can see like by the cameras how experienced they are in the wild. One guy drives by, he had a lens that was 400,000 rand. Because we were with this guy who, he makes videos, he loves the wild, he understands the wild, he understands photography, he's got great cameras. He said, wow, that guy's camera was 400,000 rand just for the lens. And he had two of them basically sitting side by side.
Casual.
And
imagine you drop your camera off the back of the game vehicle. Huh? That's 400 grand.
Yeah.
And then there was this one
car. That's a house. That is a person's house.
There was this one car where this woman had a disposable camera with flash. I don't even know what she was going to get out of these photos, but the other guy then had a selfie stick. The leopard gets up and side-eyed this guy so badly, like, what the hell have you got in your hand? He extended the selfie stick beyond the car. The leopard side-eyed him and walked away like, loser.
Yeah.
I bet she got that on camera. It's priceless.
So Mubs is right. They do judge us.
Completely.
God, that sounds so good, Ben. Wow.
And then you go where you have Poiki and you have Bry's and it's just good.
When did you get back?
Last night.
Very, very nice. Yeah, you got to do those little breakaways. Otherwise, you'll lose your mind. I had this discussion with people I had a meeting with on Friday at 1-2 in the afternoon. We were all talking about how you hit that point in the year, and it usually is around September for most people. You just don't have any energy. That's how people are. Like, around that time, you're just ready to call the year quits, you know?
Yeah.
So if you're feeling a bit like that now, it's almost the end of October. It's downhill now. It's really downhill to the holidays. So don't panic.
I just booked something for the last week of November. Like, actually, I should be booking my December schedule now. Nothing more, nothing less.
Right. Okay, let's get cracking then. We've got a busy morning for you. the Money Shot with Anthea is coming up. Ben Sport, we'll check in on the five things you need to know this morning with Kolkakia's Pizzeria, said by Sia, and then we'll also get into some news. And Solim Simanga, who's the mayor of Tshwane, makes a triumphant return to the show. We spoke to him just before the elections, right? Last year, so he's been...
It's been a little over a year.
Yeah, he's been in the job for, 13 months, 14 months. And he has quite a lot to talk about, so we'll get to him in a second. And I hope you're off to a good start today. A lot of people over this weekend, also, there was plenty of rain on Saturday night. Sure.
Ooh.
It's insanity. I love it, though. I was at this opening of this place, and it was just, it's outside, but it's inside, so you've got these balconies and verandas, and then you just see this rain pelting down on the outside, and everybody's partying, and there's music, and it's just a really good vibe.
Oh, I had about like 3 people over at my place, and because I'm the host, I stayed relatively sober. Everyone was sloshed out of their minds with the rain and the open sliding door and the patio. Oh, it was the biggest mess known to mankind that I had to clean up.
Oh, like your carpets and everything?
Yeah, because now people were walking outside, then they were walking back in with muddy shoes. Oh, mess.
I know your pain.
I know.
I had my family around yesterday. I said, I come for tea.
Oh, no.
House looks like a... Yeah. Also, again, just walking crap into my house.
Did your brother bring the bulldogs?
No. He knows he isn't allowed to do that anymore. He did bring my nephews, though, and they're even more destructive.
Equivalent.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, let's get into the news. Let's see what the five things are that you need to know this morning. Let's start your day right. These are the things that you have to pay attention to. And, of course, you should also be paying careful attention to Kolkakia's Pizzeria. They've got an amazing summer menu, and they've got the most incredible selection of healthy and sweet and magnificent tasting dishes. They really are very, very spectacular. And if you want proof, go and check it out for yourself. Must I eat the thing and give you a review? You know, I can't do that. Go and help yourself. It's not that far out of your way. There are over 35 branches nationwide, and there's even one in Namibia. Kolkakia Pizzeria has been around for a whole 25 years. Whether you're a meat lover, vegetarian, or someone with a taste for the sweeter things, we guarantee that they will find the dish that will satisfy your craving. All right, the five things you need to know. Number one, the media has purposely created a narrative that undermines the integrity of SARS to focus on its core mandate of revenue collection, writes SARS media executive Sandile Memela in a release that he put out just today. He says, media institutions have greater power than before to influence society and make or break the credibility of government and institutions. In other words, it's not Tom Moyane's fault that SARS is a disaster and isn't being run properly. It's the media.
Okay.
Stupid.
Nice to know.
It's always the media's fault when we can't find anyone else to take responsibility.
Reminds me of someone who's always going on and on about fake news in his country.
Thank you very much.
The media seems to be problematic the world over.
That's right. So in other words, Sandile Memela is just a Sean Spicer for the Tom Moyane Donald Trump of SARS. All right. In other news, a Scottish dude was given 3 months in jail for touching a man's hip in Dubai. He was at a bar and apparently he put his hand on a man's hip so that he would avoid spilling a drink. The bar was very crowded. People were pushing each other over. The dude who this happened to said, "Oh, he touched my hip. He must be making a gay move on me." 3 months in jail. Mm. The Scottish dude has been given for touching another man's hip. Isn't it insane? Dubai really needs to reassess its priorities if that's what their judicial system is after. And I like this. Somebody in the British government, he's the International Development Minister, has said the only option with British people who have converted to ISIS and are now fighting with ISIS is to kill them. He says there's no way that these people can be rehabilitated,
good point,
brought back and, you know, trusted to do good things. He says the only way to deal with them is to kill them. You got to go to these places where there's still small pockets of ISIS people and kill them.
It's kind of like The Walking Dead. Once you're infected, you can't. There's no cure for that.
No.
There's no cure for that sort of ideology or life choice.
You just have to kill them.
Yeah.
Story number four, they've sold a Titanic letter, a letter that was written by a first-class passenger on board the Titanic. It was sold at an auction for £126,000, this manky old letter. It's stained. You can barely read what the guy's writing. And that is a record price for a note written by someone on the Titanic.
It'd be awkward if it's just a room service note.
He wrote it to his mom and tucked it away in his pocketbook. And, of course, it got a little bit wet when they went under. Mm. But he survived. And the letter survived. And someone has just bought it.
Mm. Hi, Mom. Cabin overpriced. Too many foreign people. Smells like feet. Should have stayed at home.
And finally, Robert Mugabe has been removed as a World Health Organization goodwill ambassador amid an outcry. Yes, he may be one of the longest-serving leaders in the world, but his stint as a goodwill ambassador was anything but. Days after the World Health Organization named him as a goodwill ambassador, a move that angered a lot of people, he was immediately uninstalled. So, not going well for him. Human rights activists protested, and now he is no longer a World Health Organization.
I don't think he's losing sleep over that.
Well, you never know. He got very upset when the Queen took away something from him once. Or rather, Tony Blair did. He blames Blair. He can see no fault with the Queen. He loves her. He calls her my Queen.
Oh.
No, he's got like a major Anglophilia problem there. The Robert Mugabe really should have been born as an English gentleman in the 1700s. He would have been perfectly happy. And that's what you need to know today. Let's turn our attention to Ben and see what's going on with him. Ben, in the sport, what do you got for us?
A pretty incredible weekend of sport in that, jeepers, there was a lot. There was F1, there was rugby, cricket, football. Wow, I just don't know where to start, really. I guess football was the major thing happening of the weekend. Surprise, surprise, the Soweto Drawby took place.
Drawby, was it a drawby again?
Yeah, 0-0. What an absolute waste of time these teams are when they come together. This is meant to be the great advert for South African football. This is meant to be a massive showcase of how there's tradition and there's rivalry and there's passion, and these games are dreadful. They're dreadful. They're absolutely dreadful. It's just, it's embarrassing. Like, what's being done? Why are these teams so cucked when they play together? You get tens of thousands of people who are spending hard-earned money. This is like a big social commitment to go to this game, and it's so cuck.
Maybe people should stop going.
I don't know.
Because you want a winner.
It's embarrassing. That's all it is. 0-0. What was it last time? 0-0. The time before that? Probably 0-0. They always draw.
Well, the state of local football can't be very much to be proud of when we can't even get into the World Cup. I mean, it's just outrageous.
Well, Gareth, that is a hop, skip, and a jump. Because, I mean, that is obviously, it's never going to happen. Unless we host it, basically. Yeah. Baraka FC, they had their first loss. Yeah, went down to Bidvest Wits, who seem to be coming back a little bit here after a dreadful start. So they went down 1-0 there. Chipper beat Cape Town City. Ajax also won. They beat Bloem Celtics. SuperSport United versus Maritzburg United. Well, that was postponed. I'll tell you for why in a second. And then Sundowns, they lost again. Shit, that's not very good. They lost to AmaZulu FC 2-1. But SuperSport United, they are in the Confed Cup in Africa. That's like the UEFA Cup for Africa. And they're through the final. They beat Club Africain, which isn't a sort of African George Michael song. That is a club that went into this tie with a sort of advantage. They had their away goal. The tie was at 1-1. But SuperSport United winning that one 3-1. So they go through 4-2 on aggregate, and they shall take on TP Mazembe. They drew with FUS Rabat 0-0. But they go through 1-0 in the first
US Rabat
first leg tie. That's really cool. So good for Eric Tinkler, because the last African South African team to be in the Confederations Cup final was Orlando Pirates back when Tinkler was in charge of that. So clearly this is a tournament he feels very comfortable in. He gave up a new contract. Well, he gave up another season at Cape Town City to obviously chase higher honours. And here he is in the final. So good on you, Eric Tinkler. Hmm. In other football news, the English Premier League. Well, Man United lost for the first time. They lost to Huddersfield Town. After Great. Such an amazing start of the season, they were down by Huddersfield Town. That doesn't sound too glamorous, but there it is, 2-1. Chelsea, they beat Watford 4-2. Man City still racking up the goals. They take a bit of a lead now with Man United's loss. They beat Burnley 3-0. Arsenal, look at that, 5-2. They hammered Everton, despite Everton starting with a wonder goal from Wayne Rooney.
Yeah, yes.
Massive flashback for wonder and excitement there, but they went to shit after that. So much so, the last 10 minutes was basically played in front of about 30 people. Everton fans were like, screw it. Having a terrible season, we're out of here. And 5-2 it ended. Spurs took on Liverpool at Wembley. Liverpool, they had a great win of a muddy ball in the Champions League this last week, but they got thrashed by Spurs 4-1. Spurs came out firing. They redid. Harry Kane scored a great goal with one-way traffic. And Liverpool defence, well, much like a prostitute, it just sort of parted its ways. 4-1. Jurgen Klopp under more fire. Told you that cock's on the block, and it's going to get chopped pretty soon. You can't keep leaking goals like this. As simple as that. People, you know, Liverpool fans obviously need to come to terms with this, because that defence really is dreadful. It's porous, as I said. And, you can't keep having these major losses, because they're taking one step forward and taking two steps back. Sounds like a Paula Abdul song, but that is just Liverpool, unfortunately. In cricket, well, India, they're hosting New Zealand at the moment. You would think India would, well, kind of get one over them, seeing as they beat the Aussies so comprehensively. But New Zealand with one of the greatest chases in their time as cricket players. India posted 280, Kohli got 100. New Zealand were really on the ropes early. I mean, they were three down for 80 with Guptill, Williamson and Munro all gone. But then Latham and Ross Taylor, the old guy, they came together. Fantastic partnership. They put on about 200 runs and they beat India by 6 wickets. Absolutely incredible match that. I tell you what was an incredible match was Bangladesh again. God, these guys are crap. I know I keep going on about it, but it's just embarrassing. So they got hammered. They lost by like 200 runs in East London yesterday. How absolutely embarrassing. So there it is. 3-0. The series is done. South Africa beating Bangladesh. They are the world's number one ranked team in the ODI format. And Fionn Mulder and Eden Markram made their debuts yesterday for the Proteas. Mulder is all of 19 years old. And Markram will know he's going to be a massive, massive star for the Proteas going forward. So they now go on to the T20 series, which, well, no one cares anymore. In rugby, the Wallabies beat the All Blacks.
Oh, really?
23-18.
That's quite a turnaround for the books.
Yeah, see, that Bledisloe Cup basically is it's played during the rugby championships, and then at the end they have one game at the end. I mean, they've played this match in Japan, they've played it in Hong Kong. Sorry, they haven't played Japan. They've played this game all over. And the Wallabies, look, Czech is obviously doing the humble thing by saying, look, we're going to keep our expectations in Czech going forward. It was a big win. We're not going to get ahead of ourselves. But the All Blacks, you know, it's still a long season for them. Expectations are so high. They've really got to be incredible every single time. And we all know staying at the top is the hardest thing in all of sport and all life. So that's a big win for the Wallabies, though. Well done. Also puts maybe into perspective the Springboks. They're sometimes super. The Springboks may be on as cuck as everyone gives them credit for. Or not give them credit for. Yeah. The sport's going too long. Mumbling my words already. In the F1, Mercedes have wrapped up the Drivers' Championship already. Ferrari started bright, but Mercedes always win in the end. It's a bit like a Disney movie. And, Lewis Hamilton, he won again. So his lead is almost unassailable now. Ferraris just haven't got it. And, Verstappen, he was dogged, as always, but then he was, like, penalized 5 seconds for cutting the track or something. Anyway, so business as usual in F1. And then in golf, what an interesting weekend that was. Sergio Garcia won the Andalusia Masters at Valderrama. And then Justin Thomas, the hottest golfer on the planet, golf-wise, of course, he won the CJ Cup, which was basically played in South Korea's version of Hawaii. There's this beautiful island just off South Korea. And an inaugural event there where the PGA Tour went into Korea, Justin Thomas beat Mark Leishman in that playoff. Hmm. Very interesting weekend of sport. That pretty much does it. More tomorrow.
Thank you, Ben.
More sport.
Let's turn our attention now to Anthea Gardner and find out what's happening in the weekly Money Shot. She's here and she's ready to take us through it. She works hard for the money.
So hard for it, honey. She works hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
All right, Anthea, the Rand's chickens are coming home to roost. All of our political shenanigans over the last couple of days, and it's suddenly starting to cost.
Isn't it just? Last week this time, the Rand was 1329 at the moment, 1363. And it really just has been a slow, steady weakening across the week. I mean, the cabinet reshuffle, rumors of Ramaphosa being fired, President Putin interfering. There's
Can you
a
believe
lot.
That the Russians were here the day before?
Yo.
Scary, hey?
Yeah,
frightening. This is, what are we doing? Seriously.
We are owned. That's what we are. Totally. We are owned.
I think that was probably my scariest story.
Yeah.
President Putin. He's not to be messed with, I tell you. Yeah. So, I have a question for you guys. What do you think is really going on here? Because this will give me some insight into what's going to happen with the budget. Budget this Wednesday. Malusi Gigaba's first budget speech. Medium term only.
Well, you're going to pop in and tell us about it, right?
I'll tell you on Thursday what happened on Wednesday. So I'll come in on Thursday and give you a heads up. There's a lot of speculation, lots of questions about whether or not there will be an allocation to a certain nuclear energy plant. Mm-hmm. I tell you what there is. There's definitely tax implications coming up. We're definitely short of money in this year's budget. There's already talk of the, what do they call it, the medical scheme tax credits disappearing. And I think that's a big one for people to watch out for, or at least those of you who have medical aids. It's big. You know, government's expected to close a 25 billion rand from these tax credits. Eh? So that's how much we're going to lose out. That's how much it's going to impact our pockets.
I don't understand this. So this is for people who are not on the public health system, who have a medical aid. In other words, they are trying to get their own private health care, so they're not a burden on the state.
Yes, and now they're going to take away the benefits so that they can start a national health
So you get
insurance.
Nailed twice if you're clever enough to not rely on the Department of Health. You get nailed twice. If the first time you get nailed is because you have to pay for your own medical care from your own pocket. Second of all, they're going to take this tax back.
Well, the credits, yeah.
The credits.
Yeah, yeah. This
just proves, once again, now you could pick 100 different examples of this, but this is the latest one, how the state cannot do a better job than private enterprise. They just can't. They're parasites. They will find any way to milk any kind of value out of a situation and make it worse, not better.
I've got more bad news for you. Sorry. So we're also expecting a hike in dividend withholding tax. Remember the last time it went from 15 to 20%?
Mm-hmm.
And people are expecting that the marginal tax rate will go up to 50%.
50%. So yeah. Now...
There's talk
now,
of it anyway.
Now it's exactly, yeah. Well, this is inevitable, right? This is what happens when a government who can't spend money properly and who don't have enough run out and need to milk the population even more. Do these guys really think that's going to work, though?
Yeah, of course. Well, they don't have a choice. What choice do they have? They've got a huge budget deficit, big hole in this budget. They have to get the money from somewhere. The only person or people they can get it from are us, the taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's a couple of other things. I mean, so, of course, the question is whether or not they'll hike VAT. I'm not sure they will. So I think they'll go for the easy money, easy in inverted commas first.
Hmm.
Yeah. That's us. Just in case you missed me saying it the first time round.
Right,
no, we
you.
Heard you. We're still processing exactly
you.
How terrible our lives
it is time,
are about
guys,
to become.
It's time to get rid of government. Really, it is just this is unacceptable. Half of everything you earn now is going to them.
Possibly.
Half of your year. You work from January to July for them. For them. Think about that.
Oh, when you put it like that.
I mean, it's a modern day version of slavery, isn't it?
Oh, suddenly felt a bit like it, yeah.
Aren't there any loopholes? What is our only option to live off the grid? Like, create our new country?
You can move. Namibia won't charge you this much to live.
No, in Mauritius, the tax rate is 3.5%. In Monaco, it's 5%.
Oh. Anthea, yes. Yes, Anthea.
Time to take cliffcentral.com to Mauritius. Cheers, everybody. See
Monaco,
you later.
Monaco, I say.
Monaco's a little expensive to live in. Oh. All right, anyway. So, I mean, look, there's some fuckery afoot. That's what we're saying.
Yeah. So eloquently, well, yes.
I'll come and tell you exactly what it is on Thursday. So, yes, the Rand weakened all through the week last week. Good for Rand hedges, but bad for local shares. On Friday, Barclays Group Africa was down 4% on Friday alone. So, Naspers, of course, is now a 3,297 Rand share, so almost 3,300 Rand. And then a couple of other things besides the political shenanigans also drove the Rand weaker. We had CPI inflation, and the core was a little bit disappointing at 4.6%. Headline inflation came in at 5.1%. And Amanda and I were just talking about this early on, because I said to her, I don't know what the fuel price was from August to September, but I saw a note saying that it was fuel inflation, which makes up 5% of the CPI basket, which jumped 12.2% in September. So I don't think it did. But apparently, according to Stats SA, that's what happened. So I'm a little bit confused with that number.
These are conversations you and Amanda have. You talk about the CPI figures.
While we're waiting for Ben to finish his report.
I'm impressed. Okay.
What does that mean, Anthea?
Well, I have to wait at least. I can't just jump in.
Look at her saying that I talk too much.
Ooh,
yeah, you come in here one day a week and you just throw shade.
Oh, Ben, you're more prickly than a cabinet minister at the moment.
Wow, hedgehog. What just happened there?
All right, I'll see your game, Anthea.
Okay, let's move on. Let's talk about some corporate news.
Okay. Yes, where do you want to start? Shall we start with First Rand? I want to start with First Rand. Because they announced that they're buying a UK specialist lender and deposit taker called Aldermore. In this environment, when I think it was last week, I was sat here telling you about famous brands and how they'd messed up and Brexit, blah, 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 mm-hmm. and all the drama around that. So this Aldermore, they only IPO'd in 2015, so fairly new. At first glance, the deal looks like it's slightly earnings accretive. They bought it at 11 times price earnings, 2x book. A nice little bolt on for First Rand. And you know, First Rand have been sitting on cash for 3 years, so it's not like they were. And don't forget that cash on the balance sheet is a drag on return on equity. You know, you're not getting as much for your cash in the bank. And in this case, literally in the bank,
mm-hmm.
Or on the bank's balance sheet, as you would if you deployed it and bought something worthwhile. And you know that First Rand has one of the best ROEs in the banking environment. How they keep it above 20% throughout is phenomenal. Every year, I mean, where other banks are printing high single digits or mid-teens, they're printing low 20% returns. I mean, it's phenomenal. Anyway, so they've been sitting on this cash for 3 years, and they finally decided to buy something in the UK. It is quite nice. You know, this Aldermore business, it's a clean business. It's a good niche business with a high return on equity. And I think it'll just fit nicely into First Round. Also, they're a little bit innovative, a little bit niche, which I think First Round boys are looking for and girls are looking for.
Okay.
So that was quite interesting. And then following on from this PPC and the bid to take PPC out, and I've spoken at length about it, there's another company, construction company, Group 5, which is now being bid for.
I saw their shares go sky high last week.
Yes, 25% up, but right. Then on Friday came off 14% because Green Bay Properties said that they were going to buy their European assets, a company called Intertoll, which manages the tolls in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
But then on Friday, Group 5 let this bid lapse. So in other words, kind of, they didn't come to the party in time. They did ask Green Bay to extend the bid, but Green Bay said they're not going to extend the bid because they're not going to allow for them to go out and find other bidders. You know, basically, it's just a little corporate.
So it lapsed.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they could come back or somebody else could potentially bid for
but if you were smart, you would have taken that 25% cashed out then, and you would have made it
if you were a shareholder. Is that what you're saying? Yes, if you were a shareholder. So so it's still trading higher than the bid price, the market cap bid price.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see what happens, because I think if they do buy Intertoll, Group 5 really will be left with assets that are meaningless or valueless. So the Intertoll business, the European business, is the real cash cow, in other words.
Right.
Yeah.
Talk to me about this Discovery banking license.
Oh, finally, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So there's not a whole lot of information on it at the moment. I think it's interesting that Discovery finally got their banking license. Don't forget, a couple of weeks ago, Tyne got a banking license as well. I mean, the Saab hasn't allocated banking licenses for what it was, 11 years or something,
mm-hmm.
and then suddenly they allocate two, or they approve two banking licenses. And Time, of course, is Patrice Motsepe's. So that's the online banking business, which has been going for a while now. I've been following it for a while. It's not listed. It was part of MTN at one stage. I'm not sure if it still is. And, of course, now Discovery. I think what's going to be interesting is to see what Discovery is going to do with this banking license. We've been waiting for it for 18 months now. We knew it was coming. I don't think so. Obviously, Capitec is the model that's working at the moment, the fastest growing bank in South Africa.
Right.
Because it's so cheap, offers all sorts. But I don't think Discovery are going to go after that market. I think Discovery are going to go after the market they already own with their insurance and their Vitality business. So it'll be interesting to see. I can't make any predictions. It's a really difficult one to say.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we had a couple of companies release results as well. Pick n Pay released their first half results. Not a pretty story. I mean, earnings were decent. You know, you saw top line growth of 5.1%. But really the growth was more because of cost savings than them capturing or recapturing market share that they've lost. And in fact, their margins are getting squeezed. So you can imagine so they've got two issues there. They're losing market share and their margins are under pressure, and we never like that in a retail business. You know, what you want, obviously, is to grow, like the ShopRite model. And in fact, if you strip out their like-for-like sales, which grew at 1.8%, and you take out selling price inflation at 3.6%, you actually extrapolate a negative volume growth of 1.8%, which means that the business is moving backwards.
Ooh.
Uh-huh.
Not good.
That's just not good. And you know, they at the last results, I'm sure I remember sitting here, in fact, and talking about how the smart shopper card is doing so well, how they're getting everyone signed on with this. Doesn't seem to be working all of a sudden.
Yeah.
6 months later, and it's not a great story.
Ay, ay, ay.
And then we also saw Richemont release results. Now, here's a story that looks like it could be a luxury goods sector turnaround.
Oh, yeah?
Uh-huh. EBIT, earnings before interest and tax, up 45% in the first half of the year. I mean, so you remember at the end of last year, they had a management shakeup, and I think this is I think this has been good for the business. And not only that, but we've seen kind of the Chinese get back into the shopping, or the Asian market, I should say. So particularly in China, there's been some good growth. Hong Kong, I think Japan also showed some healthy growth. Europe was kind of flat. The UK was fairly negative. I'm talking about the luxury goods sector, you know, the watches, the jewelry,
right,
and so forth. And this could be good for Richemont. So it hasn't really reflected in the share, which is what I'm a bit worried about. Last time I checked, it was trading at 122 Rand a share. We bought some at about 94, 95, and I'd really like to see it grow a bit more. I'm going to be sitting there holding on to this one. But yeah, it's a good story. It's a story I do like. No huge surprises, just this incredible earnings growth.
Okay.
And then talk about earnings. The U.S. have kicked off their earnings reporting season again, because you know they report quarterly.
Right.
Yeah, so it's this time. And the two that I want to talk about, Netflix and PayPal, incredible. So Netflix's share is up 64% year to date. PayPal is up 80%. That's very quietly,
that's,
right?
That's very nice. Very
sneaky, yeah. So, so PayPal, kind of, we think of it as the grandfather of online payments. It's like the original online payments. Yeah. It's boring. No one watches it anymore. And then that happened. Revenue was up 21% to $3.2 billion for the third quarter. And that translated into earnings increase of 31%. I think that's phenomenal. 8.2 million new active users for PayPal. Like, where do these guys come from? How long has this business been going now? Like, I'm almost can't explain why the sudden enthusiasm for PayPal all of a sudden. Anyway, I mean, there's a couple of acquisitions that they did a while ago, like I think almost a year ago, Venmo, which is their peer-to-peer payment system, and then OneTouch, which is their checkout payment system. But I haven't seen, and I'm a PayPal user, and I haven't seen any of it being advertised. In fact, the only thing I ever get from PayPal are like fraudulent emails. Do you guys also get that?
It's
like,
no.
Not from PayPal themselves, but I'm always getting...
Oh, people using the name.
Yeah, and like copying the logo. I always get those. I don't know why. It's a weird thing, obviously.
All right, well, you're a magnet for these things.
For fraudulent emails.
Yeah, it's all you.
All right. And then Netflix also released results. The share was up 4% the day they released results. As I said, 64% year to date. Best third quarter on record since, and sending the share to a new all-time high since they started. Revenue grew by 30% to $2.99 billion, so beating all estimates. Total streaming subscribers rose to 109.3 million. Net income for the quarter more than doubled to $130 million. The problem with Netflix, though, is that they are spending huge amounts.
Huge, massive money. Huge.
There's a billions and millions. billions. No, it's billions. They are spending billions and billions on programming.
Right.
So for this year, it looks like they'll be spending $6 billion.
Wow.
That's a lot of money, eh?
Damn right.
Yeah. And so, I mean, the things they say that have driven... So first of all, they've lured 4.45 million customers from abroad to Netflix. And in the US, they've got 850,000 new subscribers. Mm. And this is after putting their price up by over 10%. So they just put it up by a dollar, right? And what is it now? It's like $19.99 or something? Mm-hmm. What is it? $9.99. So they just put it up by a dollar. I mean, that's quite cheeky, I thought. But clearly people are loving Netflix and going with it. And there's a... I mean, one of the downside, of course, and why they're spending all this money on programming is because we spoke about this a while ago, is that Disney is looking to pull their content from Netflix. And so that's obviously a problem, yeah. And then, of course, they name all the stuff. You know, they've done a great deal with Shonda Rhimes, their first production deal, in fact. Now that I've got Sia's attention.
Yeah, you know.
What just happened? Shonda Rhimes and suddenly he's
there. You know how Shonda's my favorite.
And then they also talk about this program called Ozark, which I just have not been able to get into. and they're saying that's what drew the subscribers. That's an American Vandal and that Jerry Seinfeld did a stand-up special. I'm not sure I believe that. Well, maybe it's just me. Like, it's not stuff that I watch, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, so... two great stories coming out of the US, and we've got the banks and some of the retailers reporting this week. But okay. For us, it's all about the budget.
Yeah, and let's hope that this nuclear deal nonsense isn't going to happen, because that'll plunge us into even more terrible debt.
Well, we can't afford it.
That's we can't afford it. But what we'll do is we'll strap the next generation with the debt. You know, that's what people do, is they just saddle them with the problem.
Oh dear.
Yeah, don't you think for a second that this government has any morality when it comes to saddling the next generation with debt? Yeah. They don't care.
Nope. Thanks very much, guys.
All right, Anthea, thank you.
We'll see you on Thursday.
Oh yes, Thursday yes. morning.
All right, so we'll check in on that that medium term budget with old Malusi Gigaba.
Oh, still taking bets on what he'll wear.
And I don't care. He could walk in there buck naked. I could care less. Anthea will be here, though, to help us digest it and understand it and make sense of it and figure out how much it's going to cost you. Because that's the deal. It's not Malusi Gigaba coming out telling us how he's going to spend his money. He's telling us how he's going to spend our money. Remember, he works for us. I know sometimes it gets confusing and doesn't look like that, but that's how it's meant to work. All right, well, we'll come back with some news. We got lots to cover. Said by Sia first. What do you got for us, Sia?
Well, here's some quick, inspiring news from our very own backyard. So, a young girl from Alexandra Township is getting her tech developer on, and this I like, actually. Uh-huh. So, Alexandra Township might, in the near future, produce a robot. Not even just a basic robot, but one with cooking skills.
Yes.
So, this is the vision of the grade 10 pupil who just took part in Africa Bot Robotics. Robotics competition. This was held yesterday in Centurion, and her name is Tsegofatso Mampuru. She, alongside with three schoolmates, built a small sensor-driven robot that drove through a maze without any remote control. What were you doing when you were in grade 10? Grade 10, you were 16 years old.
I was sitting around with sand and mud. Jeez. And
I was still eating crayons. Yeah. Like, this is just not good for us at all.
Tsegofatso is obviously way more evolved than us.
The challenge for these participants was to have their robots going through the board faster than any the other competitors. And the girls from Alexandra Township, they had their robot was not fast enough on the day, but taking part in the competition has actually motivated Tsegofatso and her group. She says, "I want to build a robot that can prepare meals and assist with cleaning in the house. So this will give people more time to relax and do other things. I've started doing my research and I'm confident that one day my dream will become a reality." So hey, Silicon Valley,
incredible.
Take a look at that. They're calling themselves their robotic girls. And so far, a total number of 16 pupils from Alexandra High School participated in the competition. And the team started assembling their robots back in March of this year. And a teacher from the high school said more pupils were interested, actually, in taking part in the challenge. So, unfortunately, they were only represented by 16. So, it's actually a good sign as well that so many young kids were so keen to get involved. But I like this. So, more than 40 junior and senior Gauteng schools took part in the challenge overall, which is hosted by the University of Johannesburg. So, look at us. More young people getting involved in science and technology, and it's awesome. So kudos to them this morning on set by Sia.
Well, I'm very impressed. Thank God for people like that. Of course, she's going to be working for half her life for government. You know,
well,
according to Anthea, that's the...
Like the rest of us
The rest of us.
So, hey.
Exciting.
It's the 10th month, so we've been working, what, just 3 months for ourselves.
Yes, so you've at least... Well, the money you're making right now is yours, but from January to June next year, it's... the government.
Oh, all that's right. Warped.
CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com.